Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Good evening. We would like to give honor to God this evening, thanking Him for life, health, and strength once again, blessing me to be a part of this ministry program. Thanking Him for just allowing us another opportunity to come before each and every one that may be listening or may call in. God is good, and all the time God is good. He's still taking us through. Every day, each and every situation that we may be facing, we can depend on God to see us through. He gave His only begotten Son that we may have life through His Son. And He did it willingly just for us. I'm so thankful and grateful to just be able to share something, a word of encouragement, letting each and every one know that there is love when we talk about the name of Jesus, hope, honor, strength, many things that we can say that we can get from the name Jesus, the Bible. It truly is an honor and a blessing, and we just want to have a prayer. We want to remember all of the prayer requests. If anyone has a prayer request, we're going to be praying for the sick and the needy, all of the bereaved family, the incarcerated, our home and loved ones within the home, our companions, children. We're going to continue to be praying for our world leaders, our nation. We're going to continue to be praying for all of our ministry, our churches, and our members. We're going to honor God in all of this because of what He's done, what He's doing, and thanking Him in advance for what He's going to do. Because He's still working right at this moment as we speak on situations in our life, on problems in our life. And we want to thank Him for everything, no matter what the situation. Even in the bad times, we still want to thank Him because He sent us through. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before You right now, humbling ourselves, thanking You, Lord, knowing that You're the source of all of our being, all of our need, all of our hope is in Jesus. Thanking You, Lord, just for Your mercy and grace. Send us through situations that may seem hard sometimes, but with You, Lord, all things are possible. Strengthen our faith and our hope. Strengthen us, Lord, in areas that we need to be strengthened. Open our eyes to see the salvation of the Lord. Knowing, dear God, without it, we have nothing. We thank You, Lord, for how You continue to give us a mind, Lord, to be able to do what we need to do to think for ourselves. Some people's going through situations in life, Lord, that they need help, that they have to go through a struggle sometimes. And, Lord, we want You to help us to be able to help those that's in need with these struggles, these situations in life. Because, Lord, it could have been us. But You give us this opportunity, dear God, to acknowledge You through everything that You have seen us through. Even though the little things that we look at in our lives sometimes, dear God, and not think of the things that someone else may be going through that's bigger than our situation, complaining about the little things. Someone else is going through much more than what we are. Help us, Lord, not to complain about these things, dear God, but in all our ways acknowledge you and thank you for the life that you've given us to be able to do and live by your word. We ask, dear God, that you open up our understanding to your every word, dear God, that we may be able to be a help to someone, Lord, because it's not all about us. It's all about us serving one another, helping and loving one another, praying for one another, putting you first in everything that we do. If it hadn't have been for you, Lord, sending your son to die on that old rugged cross, dear God, giving us the opportunity at eternal life, we wouldn't have no cause to be here, Lord. All would be lost in darkness. But, Lord, you loved us so much. You loved us so much, dear God, and I thank you for it. I praise your holy name. We ask you each and every prayer request that's been stated tonight, Lord, that you work in the midst of each and every one of them. Comfort the people, Lord, that's going through tonight. Each and every one that may be listening in to the program tonight, that calls in tonight, touch them in a special way, dear God. Whatever situation, whether it be pain, finances, situations they go through, we just want you, Lord, to be in the midst of everything that we do. And we give you all the honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. We truly do honor God in everything we do. We don't come on this program to make a show of anything. Everything we take seriously when it comes to the Word of God and living this Christian life in the right way may have faults, but it don't mean that we're giving up or playing around with the Word of God or the situations and the things that we do, because we love the Lord and we believe in giving it to you straight to be able to be a help to you. And if we don't let you know truthfully, then it's going to be on us to have to answer for. And I don't want to deceive anyone in any kind of wrongdoing when it comes to God's word. So I always ask God to give me the words to say, help me, Lord, to lead me in the right way of what you would have me to do in the right way, because it's all about him. Praise the Lord, Bishop. Praise the Lord, Bishop Armstrong.
Oh, yeah, I had you on. I had the phone on mute. Sorry about that. I was talking and wasn't. Nobody was hearing me. I guess I was hearing myself.
I was just listening just now to the program with the nurse and everything that I didn't call in, but I listened to the program. And it was some very interesting things that she was talking about and everything. And I said I really enjoyed being able to find out a little bit about things, you know, that she was saying, because our health is a big part of our life. And I said it was a blessing to be able to listen in and be able to get the information that she shared with each and every one. And I didn't know exactly what we might come about tonight, but it was just something that interested me, because I'm one of those hard-head people, too, that I know certain things that I should do, and I don't do them in the right way sometimes, but it's an encouragement when someone tells you the right thing that you need to do, and you ask the Lord, Lord, help me to acknowledge what has already been stated and said, that I may do in a right way what I should, because there's many times that we know what we should do, but we don't. But when you have people continuing to encourage you to do something, it's a big help, and I really enjoyed listening to her with that, because it speaks of, you know, God's word lets us know he'd give us everything that we need for that healing if we would only trust him enough and believe and go forth and just continue to read his word. Because I, when she said it, I was looking up some things in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29.
That's right.
God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, and which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And he let us know he has given this to us, every herb-bearing seed and every tree.
Hold one second. The key word right there, the key word is seed.
Yep.
Okay? We go to the store. We buy seedless grapes.
That's right.
This and seedless that. That is not according to the word of God. That's not according to the word of God. Some man has come up with genetic engineer a product and put out there because it grows faster. They can make more money from that. Whereas God made it clear, everything he gave us that bears seed, a seed in it, that is good for us. And that's why I do not buy seedless watermelon. I do not buy seedless grapes. I don't buy anything that says that it does not have a seed. Because where does life come from? Life comes from the seed.
From the seed.
So that, that life that God is talking about is not in those seedless grapes and those seedless watermelons and everything else that doesn't have a seed. And you know what? Most of the time they don't get all the seed. The seed never develops.
It
doesn't develop. And because you say seedless, but...
Yeah, I was just going to say that's what made me think when she was talking about, you know, different things about your health and everything. And as I was listening and searching at the same time, because I have bought the seedless grapes and the seedless watermelons and things like that, but it made me think, when according to the word of God, like we were talking, he said in the word, so we have to look to what the word says and live by that, because he has given us every seed. He let us know. So I have to make a change in things in life. And that's why I said it's good that she was talking about things about your health and things like this, because it made me start thinking more, made me want to start doing better in certain areas in my life that I know that I have to do better if I want my health to be where it should be. Like she said, things is going to occur. That's true. But do we have to help them occur? We don't have to. We can help ourselves by doing better. We have to do something ourselves. We can't depend on this and that all the time to take care of our situations when we're not doing anything to make it better. So it was a big plus for me to hear and to be able to make a change in my routines and my ways of thinking, my way of doing things in a better manner.
I was just listening to you and going back 66 years or more and thinking about what do we eat? What do we eat in the fall? As I mentioned on the program, we had turnips, we had the roots and the tops.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not throw the juice away. They understood the value of the juice. And we drink the juice. But now we don't do that.
Uh-huh.
The other thing we did, it was seasonal.
That's
seasonal.
Right.
Seasonal. And we would go to the garden and get it and cook it. And then the sweet potatoes, we put them in a hill. We call it a hill. We plow them up and take them and get straw and put the straw in there and put the dirt around there so they won't freeze in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it was interesting. And now, and what does the Bible also say? We won't know, be able to tell the season. So
mm-hmm.
if we're at that point now as well. And we, as she focused on the fact that we need to take better, we have a role. Just like the
mm-hmm.
title of this program is, it's your journey. Men, it's your journey.
Yeah.
You own it. And
mm-hmm.
that's what we're going to have to begin doing, take more responsibility for our own self. And it's amazing, really amazing, the condition that we are in all because of our diet.
That's right. That's like it's right there, Psalms 104, verses 14 and 15. I'm going to just read the first part of it. It says, he caused the grass to grow for the cattle and herbs for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. So he made it possible. And that's just like when I was growing up, everything that we ate just about was put in the ground. And every year at a certain time, they got the ground ready for whatever was going to be put in at the time it was. And they grew everything
mm-hmm.
and shared it with everybody. We didn't go to the grocery store too often to have to get anything. Everything was homegrown. You know, and we ate what it was. And then, like I said, when they would have a killing of the animals or whatever for the meat and things, all of that meat that we ate back then that they said wasn't healthy for you, you didn't hear much about people having high blood pressure. You didn't hear much about people having problems with diabetes. You didn't hear much about people having trouble with a lot of things. But when man started to mess with it and changing things and adding this to make the animals grow bigger and stronger, and then putting all kind of different mess in the ground to make the crops grow at a way that they wanted it to, they began to start hurting people. All kind of things started happening, cancer and stuff. You started hearing more about all of these things. Diseases and things from everything that man changed up and started doing, because I can't remember many times when we was younger growing up that we was bad off sick, even our families and parents, and if we was, some of the older people, they'd go out there and had a certain leave for a certain something out there. They'd pay you to go out there in a certain area to get this right here. And they'd mess around, and I'm telling you, you after a while, you start to feel better and everything, and everything was good. And then they just completely got away from it. Man, come up with this. Man, come up with that. And then everything that he come up with had a side effect. But all of these things back then that the older generation would find didn't have no side effect. It had healing in it, but not side effects like things that we come up and started to use after man started changing things up. So man have changed a lot of things up and messed the world up. And people still trust in man and the things man do when the Word of God lets us know at first hand that he had a way set up for everything. But man has come in and tried to just mess everything up and change it for man's benefit for that money.
Yeah, because I remember whenever there was no such thing as fertilizer. So what we did, we cleaned the stables. We cleaned the stables out.
Yep.
And whenever you mentioned the cow eating the grass, that was, and I hadn't thought about it that way. The cow ate the grass, the mule ate the grass. And what happened? Then whenever they processed it and got all the nutrients that they needed out of it, then they eliminated the waste. And that piled up in the stable, and what happened was then we would clean the, well, you mentioned preparing the land. We prepared the land by turning it over, the dirt over.
Yep.
That killed the bugs. That killed all that stuff that was in the ground.
Yeah,
then in the spring, because we did that around this, well, a little after this time of year when it started getting cold, we would turn it and it would, we'd get a freeze and it would kill everything. And then we would dish it up. And then we would put the waste from the cows and the mules in the field.
Yes,
now,
did.
Some of the cow stuff, it was more the horses and mules stuff than the cows, because a lot of theirs was. And then we would plant the seeds in there. Now, I remember the tobacco bed. We grew tobacco. We put poison in the ground. It got so that we didn't want to pull up the weeds. So they had this chemical, and we would put the chemical in the ground. Then we put the seed in the ground, and then we would cover it up in the tobacco bed. And then there was another time that progress, we had a canvas light to go over the area, and then we took the cans that had poison in it, and we would screw it into it, and that would go into the earth. And you're right, all the sickness, then all the sickness and stuff started come into the people, into us.
That's
as
right.
People. So, yeah. And one thing I wanted to say is that this program is not just for Christians. This program is for all men.
All men.
Because my rabbi brother, one day he's been sick. One day I'm going to get him on. We are brothers. And at this point, my Iman brother, he passed. He's in Sierra Leone. But the thing is, we all agreed on one thing. Father Abraham. We all had the same God. And when we would have our conversation, we didn't deal with this division that everything says that we can't talk to that person. And when I went to West Africa or even Mexico and other places outside of America, people are people. People work together.
Yes.
And here is the place where we can't work together. We can't do it because our belief system says this, our belief system says that. Well, what are we supposed to do? What? Evangelize, don't. How can we evangelize somebody whenever they realize that we don't like them? Or we don't
like what
they believe. So,
that's right.
And God has put that in my spirit to reach out to all men, because this Christian man ain't going to cut it. We got to have unity in the community in order for the community to heal itself.
It's got to be our own hand.
That's right. And if we got it and we're not sharing it, we're going to be held accountable for not doing what the Word says, what in the Word comes from God. So it's amazing. I was amazed when I went to Africa.
The way a lot of people look at it, too, if we make it only for the Christian man, they looking at it and they be like, well, you know, they act as if nobody else is involved or included but the men of Christ. But it's for every man, sinner man, Christian man, we all have to work together in a situation. And once they see, if they're not Christian, that we're willing to come together with them as well as a Christian man, they see that we're not trying to be one-sided to anything. We're wanting to live right and do it in the best that we can, at the same time to share what Christ has shared with us to them, that it may be a help to them to see something that they can learn from, and it can change their life for a better life if they want it. But we have to have respect for one another's situation at hand and be willing to come together no matter what. Because I told one of my friends one day, and I mean, when I run into him, I hadn't seen him in a while. And, he was had been drinking and a little lit and everything, and I still treated him still as a friend, as he was, and let him know about my life, how Christ had changed my life and things like that. And he looked and he told me, he said, man, I'm happy for you, man. And I told him, I said, well, man, you know, I said, hey, I said, you know, as long as we respect each other's situation, man, I said, you know, I said, hey, we still can get together and go out and eat or something like that. And he looked at me real funny, and he told me, man, said, you know what? He said, I appreciate you saying that. He said, because I've run into some people that said they was Christians, man, and they didn't want to be around me or be bothered with me because of my lifestyle. And I told him, I said, well, you know what, man? I said, they're no better than the man out there in the world, if that's the way that they treat you. I said, because that's not the way a Christian's supposed to treat you. They're supposed to love you anyway and be able to try to encourage you in a situation. And then it's just like, if you're not a Christian, I'm going to give you just as much respect as a person as I would want as a person being a Christian. Just because you a sinner, it don't mean that I can go out there and treat you any kind of way and don't want to be around you or anything because of your lifestyle. my lifestyle That's was right. just like that at one time, and somebody had to come around and be around me for me to be able to learn mm-hmm. from to make a change in life. And I told him, I said, hey, I said, I was where you was one day. I said, but Christ come into my life and changed my life, man. I said, but that don't mean that I need to get away from the situation of us still being friends and me treating you like a person. And he almost cried. He told me, said he really appreciated me saying that to him, because he faced Christian people that didn't treat him that way. And they felt like, said they treated him lower than what, you know, he felt mm-hmm. like he was. And, you know, I told him, I said, man, I said, that's not Christ-like. I said, but, I said, as I said, we still can go out sometimes as friends and have a meal or something, come together. We respect one another for what the situation is and just do it. And, you know, that's the way that we have to look at life towards the center man. We can't act better than he is because we have Christ in our life. We have to be able to share something with him to let him see the life you're living. Somebody had to help me. Somebody had to talk
That's
to me.
Right.
Somebody had to encourage me in a way that I could see something that was worth me changing my life for. And if I can share that with you, then there's no telling how a man's life could change. But if you act all uppity because you are Christian and you feel like you're better than somebody else and all of that, that's not the way that you should be. And that's the way that he said people was making them feel. So we have to treat all men the same. We're supposed to show love, respect, and just continue to serve the Lord. That don't mean we have to go out there and live the world life just because we're there. We still have to show that we are a Christian and live that Christian life, but be willing to share something good with the person, whether they're a Christian or not. And we never know how we could touch people. And see, that's the thing with a lot of people out there today. They feel like when they run into a Christian person, they act like they're much better than they are. And they just don't want to be bothered with it. Let them know, hey, man, I love you, man. I'm praying for you. And try to give them the utmost respect that I can. And just let them know what God has done for me in my life, how he's changed my life. And once they see that, they see your life being changed for the better, and they're looking at you, they're paying attention to you when they see this and hear this, seeing how you live in that life where you spoke of it. I'm looking at you, seeing how you live. We don't know the encouragement that someone may get from what they see in the way your walk is in Christ. So to all the young men and the old men too, Christ is for all of us. He's not just for one race. He's for all races. He's for the world. He died for all, not just some. Some people say that they feel like that it's just for one race. That's like they had a man on Facebook a while back. He was a white supremacist. And he spoke out on Facebook, man, was doing an interview with him, and he said that if they got rid of all of the black people in the world, that the world would be a better place, because Christ was only for the white man. And I was just sitting here listening to all of this talk and everything, and the interviewer told him, said, don't you feel that you're the problem because of the way that you're thinking? And he said, what's wrong with the way that I'm thinking? Said, you know, Christ was only for the white man. And I just sat there and looked at it and listened. I said, he's completely messed up. and confused on the way that he thinks simply because he's got so much hatred built up in him for the opposite race that he can't see it. He can't see the realness of Christ dying for the world. And I said, Lord, I said, please change his heart, Lord. Let him see something that may let him see that he's wrong in every sense of his thought. But God have to deal with him because man can't make him see the right and the wrong in the way he thinks. So you put him in God's hands and pray for him. But we face all kind of things in this world today that people feel that they're right. But if they would look to the Word of God for the right in it, the Bible tells them, Christ died for everyone. It didn't mention no particular race. It said the world, the universe. Let them know that we all live in this world together, and he died for all to have an opportunity at eternal life. And it's ours for choosing whether we do or don't. He chose us to give us this opportunity. But we're our own free agent to make the decision on our own whether we want it or not.
And that's true. And that's, it gave us choice. One of the things that I saw last Tuesday, the result of last Tuesday activity, I saw God taking back control and letting these people know that he's still in charge. And
yes.
Conservatism is not biblical. I mean, it's nowhere in the Bible. You're not going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
If you conserve something, that means you don't share it. If Jesus would have been a conservative, there wouldn't have been no movement.
There would
not been a movement. We wouldn't be talking about Jesus.
No, we wouldn't.
It would have ended with him and the 12. No, he wouldn't even share it with the 12 if he was conservative.
No, he wouldn't.
So, thing is, when we look at the fact that God is the creator and God doesn't have any particular people or race of people. He didn't just create the white people, the brown people, the black people, the yellow people. Psalm 139 made it clear that God knitted us together when we were in our mother's womb.
Uh-huh.
That's clear. And I didn't see nowhere in there there was any particular people.
That's right.
So whenever I see these people saying stuff like they're saying, like that young man was saying, they're into idolatry. Idolatry. Because the word says, it clearly says, that you don't create any graven image.
And that's right.
They have an image of a white Jesus, and they said Jesus was God too. So therefore, Jesus looked like them. So if Jesus looked like them, and young man is right. In his belief, he really believed that.
That's right.
And so, but here, my whole thing is that the Jews of the Bible, he holds us accountable. The Jesus he was talking about doesn't hold them accountable.
That's right.
It supported the evil and hatred that they were doing, or that they do in his name. So when we think about all this stuff, think about what's happening now, and we look at people, and they're not just all white people, you got brown people, yellow people, and now we'll have to say you got non-white people that follow the idol as well, because they have gotten to a point where, and it's what's in it for me. What's in it for me? What can he do for me?
That's right.
So as we walk this journey, on this journey that we are on, I mean, it's ours. We have to pick and choose. And as the scripture you read about, God put everything here. Well, God put it here. Then we need to pick the ways of God as opposed to ways of man.
That's right. Yeah,
and
we have a lot of people
amazing.
They're blinded by the way that they... Go ahead, Bishop.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say we have a lot of people that's blinded by the thoughts, things that they hear and they see. And a lot of people, they go off of what other people say. And back then, a lot of the older white people back then, the way that they believed is the way that some of their family generation nowadays is coming out to believe. And some of them don't want to deal with the family simply because they know the right in everything, and they try to get away from the wrong belief of some of the families, deceiving people and thinking the way that they do. So we have to continue to pray for these people, because they do have people within their families that are true to the Word of God, and they can't help them to make them see the truth in the Word, because their mind's so confused on what they've heard and seen in their great-grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents, and so on, that this is the belief that they want to continue to hold on to, because this is the way that it was back then, and they still want it to be the way that it was then now. And that's the way that they believe. And they don't want to give up. That's like when I was working in the in-home care, they wanted me to go to this one place, and what it was, the people that used to, the clans that used to live around this area on that side of town, you know, they might not come out much, but they still have some people that think that way. They sent my cousin before, and she went to the door, and I came to the door, and the lady come to the door and looked at her, and asked her, said, you know, what are you doing here, and called her the N-word. And she told her that she was there, you know, working for the company and everything, and the woman told her she didn't want her coming out there and everything, and they was the type that didn't care much for black people. And they called me, and when they called me to go and give me the address, they called me back and said, no, just don't go there, because they went and they said, we have to deal with this situation. So the company, main lady of the company, went to the house and told the lady that we don't serve people that felt that way about anybody that was out to do service for them as far as color or whatever. And they dropped her as a client, and she got mad because she wanted somebody white, didn't want no black. She didn't care much for black people. And they told me just not to go there. And I said, well, God knew what the situation was before they sent me after sending my cousin. And I said, well, I thank God for it, because we still have people in this world like that They don't want you coming into their home, around their home, or anything, because they don't think much of your race. And it let me see that this world still like that with certain people. You know, you have good people in the world, but you still have that racism right around you.
Mm-hmm.
You may not see all the time, but it's still there because of the way that they think and the way that they talk and feel about you. And they've had to drop a couple of clients because of that main situation, because of the way they felt about the opposite race. And I said, well, Lord, I said, only you know best. I said, we're still going through this struggle and situation of people you're trying to help and serve, and they treat you as if you're nothing but just like a dog or something to them, no better than a dog, and they treat you this way.
Mm-mm.
So
no,
we
no.
still have people in this world that we face every day, and we have to continue to talk to our young men. We have to continue to let them know Jesus loves them. It don't matter whether you're white, black, Indian, Chinese, or whatever. We still have to talk to all the races to let them know that this is a world that we all got to come together as men in general, young, old, middle age, or whatever, in order to come together to help and serve one another to make it a better place for all of us. And then they have to be willing to teach their young the same way, because young people and kids, you can put them together all day long, all different races, and let them play, and they'll never have a problem with the situation of playing with anybody at all until one of the parents or somebody put something in that child to make them change.
That's right.
Children will play no matter who they are, no matter who they're playing with or whatever. It takes the parents to put in that child what that child sees and feels later on. And it's sad that we have to face that type of world, but it's still happening. And we have to teach all of our young men that it don't matter the color. We love you. We're praying for you. And if we can come together and there's a problem or a word of encouragement that you need, something that you need to talk to somebody about to help you with, just let it be known. We're not looking at your color or the race or nothing like that. We just want to be of a help and just do God's will to the glory of God the best that we can. We're not going to be able to help everyone, but there's some that needs help that we can help, and it's not for us to turn away from them.
My personage of drip is backing up tonight.
Yeah, that's the way mine's been. I take that allergy medicine, and mine was like that all day today, off and on. And I tell you, it's just a bad time right now for a lot of people now that's been bothered with it and everything. And like she mentioned, that Mucinex, that's what my wife's been taking. And it does take a lot of water drinking with it to make it work in order the way that it should. Because if you take it and you don't drink a lot of fluids with it, it's harder to get it loosened up in there. And I found that out, that she was telling the truth, that it does work. But you have to put a lot of fluid behind it in order to get it broke up good and things like that, because I believe everybody at some point in time is dealing with these situations now for some reason.
Would you believe
we're
going to
keep on going, we're going to keep on trusting.
Yeah, you
keep on sharing the word of God.
Yeah, they experimented with that stuff with mucinex in West Africa in the year 2000,
mm-hmm.
2001. I think it might have been 2001 I was there. I caught a cold, and they carried me to the doctor, and that's what he gave, mucinex.
Right.
I never forget that, and because it wasn't here. It was not here.
Right.
And that fall, that's whenever they introduced mucinex into America.
Oh.
Yep. And
well, I know that's what my doctor told me when I was all clogged up and I went. And he told me, he said, you get it. And said, when you first get it, he said, you take two of the pill form. He said, take two. Right off, and said it'd get that mess loosened up and everything, and told me about drinking the fluids with it. And sure enough, after that, I took one after at a time, but it did work. And I tell you, it helped me feel more better than I'd felt in a while, because I was going through with all that mess. I couldn't get it to break. It was thick and everything in there, and I just couldn't feel like I could get it to do nothing. And we went to Sam's Club, and my wife, I was telling her, because I had some, and she started taking some. And she said, well, I'm going to get one of the big things of it down here, of the pill form. And she went
mm-hmm.
ahead and got some down there, and we do keep that around the house. And then she got me some of the little, powerful sore throat. Cough mucinex for the cough and the sore throat. I believe it's 3-in-1 formula. It's a 3-in-1 formula, sore throat. It's a smoothing throat, relieves sore throat pain, and fast acting. And I've been taking them. It tastes just like a candy or something, but I tell you the truth, it really does work. And it helped the cough and everything that I was going through, because she bought me a big pack of it. It's just like the Halls and stuff like that, but it's a mucinex brand. And I've been taking them, and I tell you the truth, they really work.
I'm going to have to, I didn't know they had... I didn't know they had pill form. I'm only used to the liquid.
Yeah, they got the pill form too of mucinex, and then they got the this right here is like a sore throat. It's a honey. I know she mentioned the honey and something that she liked to take, but this is a honey flavor too. Mucinex sore throat, like a. Round little candy form like you buy the Halls and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought them. That's the first time I've seen them. But I've been taking them, and I tell you the truth, they sure have helped me. And then she got the regular mucinex that, you know, that breaks up everything too. But I had that cold and everything, and it was a little scratchy. So she come home with that and give it to me, and I started taking them. And every now and then when I take off to go to work, I put a few in my pocket there and sat there and stuck on them there at work. And I told her, I said, yeah, I said, they really helped me. But, yeah, it's when she mentioned mucinex, it made me think about it. And I said, well, that's what we've been taking. I said, I didn't know for sure. And I said, the wife bought me them. And I said, I've been taking them things, and they got a good, nice honey taste to them and everything. And I said, but they really do work for what they are for, you know, because they continue to help break that mess loosened up in there, too. Well,
good.
I thank
I'm
God
gonna have to. Yeah, I'm gonna have to get a couple of them. Well, now.
Yeah, I was glad that I listened to that tonight, because I listened last week a little bit, and everything. I didn't call in, but I listened in a little bit, and everything. And I said, well, I enjoy listening. I said, but tonight I really enjoyed some of the stuff that she discussed, and it made me think, because like she said, sometimes you tell people something and they don't really take it in or do what they're supposed to do. Said, but you have something that you have to do too. And I said, well, I said that's me right there sometimes. I said, you know, not all the time. I said, I usually listen. I said, but sometimes I get a little hard-headed and get off track and things like that. And I said, with the encouragement that she give in this time of the season and year, we have to take care of ourselves and our body. And she gives some good ways to do it and good things to do for it. And I said, well, Lord, just give me the encouragement to pick up and do. I said, it's been given to me, and it's up to me to step up to the plate and do it. So we don't realize how important certain things is sometimes till we hear it. And with her talking about being in the field for 30-plus years, she knows exactly what she's saying and what she's talking about, and a person that listens to her need to take heed. I got a young man I work with now, and his health is all the pieces. And he messed around a couple of weeks, and on the job, on his second job that he works away from the job with me, he fell out on the job, and they had to take him to the hospital. And they've been talking to him about his health. He's overweight. He's got underlying conditions and things like that. And the doctor been trying to get him to lay off of some of the foods that he's eating and things like that. And he talked about, well, they want me to stop doing this and doing that. But yet still, as soon as he get a chance, he's packing food in, packing his plate and things with different stuff that he know he's not supposed to be eating. I said, well, maybe because of what happened, it might open up his eyes. So he won't be back to work till Friday, and I'm going to take this number, and I'm going to tell him he need to call in Tuesday at 7:30 and listen to some of this and ask questions, because his health is not good. He's having problems with it. And just maybe he can pick up on something that could help him if I can get him to call in and listen, you know, because that's good for everybody to listen to and learn from.
Yeah, I'm not. it is amazing. Well, maybe we'll pick that up. Oh, for the next 2 weeks, I won't be on.
Okay.
I'm being glad to find a quiet place.
Right.
Quiet
well,
time.
Lord willing, that happens. I'll continue to go on and doing what we have to do to the glory of God, sharing what we can, and doing what we have to do to carry on. So, Lord's will. We know that God's able to carry us on through. And I just, like I said, I'm just so grateful and thankful that I was, you know, chosen to be a part and a help for this.
Now, one last thing. The 26th, we were going to have this breakfast or brunch.
Yes, I've been telling
anybody
people.
Other than see if you can get a number and where in Hickory.
Mm-hmm.
You think
right.
The first one should be in Hickory?
Yes, we can try to do Hickory. I've already been mentioning it to the people and letting them know about it and everything. And we need to just try to get a time that we want to get everybody there and
okay. Go
from there.
Okay, well, you can find somewhere in Hickory to go.
And what I do is, Lord's will, this week I work on a time to see if we can get a time and see if people may have a breakfast choice of where they might want to eat at. I know we have Golden Corral in Hickory. We used to have this other place in Hickory, but I do know Morganton has a little old breakfast place over there that they have with a buffet, and they have a Denny's. They have I'm not sure, but what I do is I'll ask to see, and that'll be Saturday after next.
Right, and we could say 10 o'clock, and both,
nope.
This the first one would be everybody, both wife and husband.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, if we do like 10 o'clock, that give us time to leave from here and get to Hickory. It's about an hour, an hour, 10, 15,
okay.
20 minutes.
Yeah, because like a Golden Corral thing that they do their breakfasts, they begin in between that time there, breakfast and the dinner time comes in together. They have the breakfast menu and the dinner menu with the chicken and things like that comes out with it. So you have a lot of options of eating. And I'll make sure that I let the people know, and then I'll see if I can come up with a number and give you a call and let you know what we close to and what we may have.
Yeah, because I invited this lady who is the evangelist connected with Global Coalition.
Right.
To come and she could talk to the ladies a few minutes and see if they have an interest of, and we could take a couple minutes with the men and work out some way that we can begin to work together. Come up with if there's interest there, and it's not in a particular church or denomination or anything like that. It's that. The community coming together, community issues.
Well, that's the way it was when I was growing up.
All right,
we did a lot of that younger when we was growing up too, and it's just like everything shied away.
Well, that's something we'll be looking forward to. Yeah, well, I'm sitting here saying, too, even if it's McDonald's, that thought ran through my mind. I had a buddy who was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and one of his clergy friends, he would meet at McDonald's at noontime for Bible study. He had about 10, 15 guys there.
Because
I was out there, and we went there that time. And I just found it very interesting. You know, you meet the people wherever they are.
That's right. That's the way we used to do on the job. They asked me to lead a prayer request, and we started out with about 3-4 people. And before we ended up getting started, we ended up with about 10, 15 people, started to add up. Before lunchtime, as soon as the whistle blow, everybody would come down there to where I worked at. we come together and have our prayer before everybody went to eat. And just started the bill. Told them, because they asked me, would I be willing to lead the prayer? And I told them, yeah. I said, we'll start it and we'll do what we have to do and go from there. And like I said, three or four people turned in to 10, 15 people. And they would come down every day. And we'd have our prayer and they'd go on. And then we had people start asking, putting in prayer requests that was on the job because they didn't come to the prayer, but they would put in a prayer request as they went
prayer
on the
request.
So, you know, we had that going on when I worked in the furniture factory and all. God blessed them.
All right. Well,
I guess that's our time then. Well, shalom and God bless. And like I said, we'll keep things going and keep praying for each other and go from there.
All right, sir.
All right. Shalom.
Shalom.
Yes, sir.